Welcome to Heathen and the Hedge. This is a podcast about marriage, magic, and beyond. I'm Shay.
And my name is Merlin.
And today is Witchy Wednesday. And before we get started, we just want to apologize. We had thought that our system was messed up, but it appears to be that our mic has had a little bit of a meltdown. So we're trying to figure out how we can get our mic to work, but we're going to just record. Put it down. We're just going to record on our starter mic. So it's fine.
This is attempt number three.
Attempt number three. So we're going to try to get this posted today. And we are really sorry about the mishap, you all. So today is about gender roles, gender normatives, in witchcraft specifically.
Yeah, like the Gardnerian, like heteronormative approach, which is across the board in all witchcraft, not just Wiccan. Like, it's a very male female polar opposite,
right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of part of like the conversation we want to have today. You know, our first question kind of leads into, you know, wanting to talk about, you know, current issues that we're noticing in the pagan community that has to do with the gender normatives and the roles that they placed.
Yeah.
And so we've kind of gotten a gist of that. Like, I've seen a little bit of that in the pagan community.
Yeah.
Specifically in coven settings. But, you know, I do believe that I haven't seen any issues directly from anyone that I know.
Yeah, I've seen, there was a story a couple of years ago, I think it was out of Florida, there was a Dianic coven that was discriminating against a trans woman that was wanting to be in the group, and it was a female-exclusive Dianic coven that didn't feel comfortable having somebody in the coven that was assigned male at birth.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were like full on
just identifying as a gender,
like identified as a woman, as a female,
right?
And I didn't even know that was even an inkling of a problem in the pagan community, because I've always viewed like the gay community and the pagan community to kind of be like there's a fellowship there, like
right. You usually don't hear of them having any issues with accepting anyone of the queer community. And so I totally understand what you mean. I think that it's really interesting that plays a role in kind of the way that the structure of covens is set up. Yeah. I don't think that we thought about that very hard, but the fact that you do get to choose who and who isn't in your coven is basically just another way of saying, you know, this is a popularity club.
It can be discriminatory,
right?
Like, it's not, I don't think it's always that way,
but it could come off as discriminatory.
It could.
And I think that that's something that we do face a lot in any religious organizational community.
Yeah.
Which is something that is basically still an issue.
Yeah.
We're still working, I guess, on that is an issue for me, right? Is how do we separate our lives and our lifestyles from our religious practice or our spiritual practice? What does our spiritual practice have to do with our lifestyle?
Yeah, it's some people are like pushing their personal feelings towards group activities, I would say.
Or just spiritual practices.
Spiritual practices in general.
Right.
And you've even got it like in like ceremonial witchcraft, there's titles assigned to people that are partaking in it, like, especially when it comes to like fertility ceremonies, they're always pairing men and women. And that's another thing that I've seen from my research online and just like listening to other pagan podcasters, is sometimes gender fluid and trans people will come into those ceremonies and feel either excluded or outright discriminated against because they were assigned a gender role within that ceremony that didn't match their identity.
Right. And so basically that's still an issue that we have to conquer in religious organizational communities.
Yeah. that's something in the past that I would have only associated, like, Christianity and the other Abrahamic faiths as being excluding, like, gays and trans people and non-binary people. Like, I didn't realize until recently that those were issues in our community.
Yeah. And so, like, it kind of brings, like, up that question, you know, what are some practices that are still outdated, that we are still practicing in the pagan community?
Like we talked about, like, the ceremonial witchcraft, I think there could be some tweaking as far as, there are definitely some tweaking in ceremonial witchcraft. And then you got, like the titles of your deities, like, are we calling them gods, goddesses?
Right. I know that I've kind of, like, come across different titles for, instead of using, God and goddess, you know, some people like to use, like, godin or godix or godress or whatever. So whatever you choose to use to talk to your deities, I think that that's fine.
For sure.
I believe that it only matters, you know, what works for you, because that's kind of like the part of practice that makes it so great, is that it doesn't necessarily have to be specific to one norm, which is another, I guess, part of the outdated community in practice, is that, you know, there are some of the old school pagans you'll run into, and they have very old school ways of wanting to practice, very much like by the book.
Yes.
Very strategic, very traditional.
For sure.
Types of practicing that don't fit, you know, modern types of practice.
You run into that a lot with, like, druids are very old school, and I would say Gardnerian in their approach.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, the heathen community, it's a very male-female, like, separation. For sure.
Yeah.
And that's something that there's stuff that's been happening that are steps forward, I suppose, but I think we definitely need to keep moving forward. And this episode isn't to, like, bash anybody's practice. This episode is about moving forward and making sure that everyone
is just included. Being more inclusive.
Yes.
In the community itself.
Mm-hmm.
In what ways do you feel like that we are being, you know, close-minded? Because this is the reason why we're working towards inclusivity, is, you know, trying to work to make everyone feel welcome. So what are those ways that we can try to be more, or what are the ways that the community is staying close-minded? I mean, like I was kind of saying, was that, you know, groups being able to choose, you know, who can and cannot join the groups. I think that that does make a really big very close-minded type of setting, because it allows for people to feel, you know, discriminated against and excluded. And, even though it's not necessarily close-minded, it's more so, you know, it's being picky. It's allowing someone else to feel,
I guess,
rejected.
Personally, I guess, like, I've never felt welcome in the witch community just by being a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally understand the reasons for that in some situations, because people do go through traumatic situations, and men have victimized women.
Men,
you know,
anyone.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, but that's like something personally that I've felt, is like I've never really felt welcome in the pagan community by fellow witches.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I've contemplated starting a coven of my own for the outcasts of, like, maybe a pagan community or people that don't, for, like, anybody.
In some ways, I would say that that's in some ways that can even be in regards to groups being, like, solely one type of practice.
Yeah.
So not including the other types of practices within the witchcraft community.
Yeah.
Because that's also, like, another issue that allows for the close-mindedness to continue.
Totally. Totally, because you've got, like, people worshiping different pantheons or shit. You've got, like, Christian witches, and you've got satanic witches. Like, there needs to be, like, a little bit of a fluidity in some ceremonies and, like, covens and, like, that we can all work together, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
kind of allow it to be more open so that you can be able to be in a group and still worship in a way that feels individual to you.
Totally, yeah.
Which is something that we're still kind of working towards, I think. But have you ever experienced or witnessed any discrimination, like, in the pagan community?
I don't know that I've actually experienced any discrimination other than, like, there's a lot of it in the Norse pagan community with racism. That's the big one there. And, man, that's a huge one. I've had, like, because I speak out pretty openly and actively against racism in the pagan community.
Right.
And I've been called a race traitor and, like, a disgrace to the gods, and I've had death threats and, like, all sorts of stuff, all because I state that I'm anti-racism. Like, right. I'm anti-racist and I'm a heathen, and that's,
it's just a big thing that they're still...
It's a huge black eye.
Yeah. It's very much still a huge discrimination that they still are, placing in the forefront of their practice.
Yeah. And it's silly. Mm-hmm. It's silly. Mm-hmm. And, it's something that's what I've experienced personally, is just fighting that part of heathenry and Norse paganism. And you even get a little bit of that into, like, some of the Druid practices. And, what about you?
I feel like I've definitely had some instances where I didn't necessarily feel as comfortable in, like, a coven setting with others, but I think that that just had to do not necessarily with, like, any discrimination, but more so just the comfortability of practicing with others.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there also, I have seen some discrimination with, like, having males in groups, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up to a group and not necessarily feeling as open or comfortable to practice with other people of different genders, which makes it difficult for some. And so I do think that that is something that we are still needing to address. But, yeah, I've definitely seen it.
Yeah.
But also, you know, it's not, like I said, super common that I've ran into it.
No.
Unlike myself. I have heard of it, though. I've definitely heard of it, and I've heard of a lot of, like guys saying that they just didn't feel comfortable coming to groups, kind of like you said.
So yeah.
Definitely that's an all around very common complaint.
Yeah.
Do you know of any ways maybe that the pagan community can be more inclusive or has shown ways that they are being inclusive?
I think more public rituals would be good, potentially,
because
that's, no matter what you believe, if you're making it a public ritual, that's going to naturally make itself a little more diverse, because it's not necessarily a coven.
Right.
Like, it's open to anybody. And I think maybe hosting more public rituals and, like, more open, inclusive, like, get-togethers like that, that could maybe allow people that wouldn't normally be a part of a coven to maybe gain some connections and maybe start their own coven from people that they meet at public rituals. And transparency within the rituals, I think, could be really good, too. Like, if there is going to be gender roles in rituals and ceremonies,
that
needs to be up front so that people that may not identify with those roles or feel comfortable with those roles can either, you know, I don't know, maybe address it, or I don't know. Maybe just transparency. I don't know how to handle that necessarily, but
I think
transparency by the ritual leaders and the groups would be a good step.
Right. Yeah, so I believe that the inclusivity that we need to see more of is definitely having more diverse groups, having more diverse practice, being more open to other people's types of practices, even in a large setting, you know, and maybe that might be difficult to do, right? Because you will want to practice with people that are kind of the same practice style as us. But I do believe that there are ways to practice with others without making it all about your own practice.
You can strip
it down to just being more civilized practices.
I think so too.
And making it to where it's just more comfortable for everyone to be involved.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe we should do away with any like traditional Girardian like approaches to the gender identities in witchcraft? So, you know, like when we're using like the Mother Maiden and the Crone, or the way that we.
Yeah, I couldn't find do that. I couldn't find a gender neutral version of the Mother Maiden Crone, because you've got the Mother Maiden Crone for women, you've got the youth, father, and sage for males. But I could not find anywhere anything about like a gender neutral version of the triple goddess.
Right.
I couldn't find anything. And I mean, there may be something, I just couldn't find anything. So if there any of you out there are listening, feel free to share that with us if you know of an alternative. But that's something that I think we could maybe look into, is maybe making the language in witchcraft a little more fluid, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that needs to be addressed. But I do feel like some of the old roles that they're still implementing can definitely be done away with, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
And it's not even necessarily about doing away with the traditions. Like, it's letting the traditions evolve and move forward and be inclusive to everybody.
Right.
Is what I'm hoping for. Like, that would be very cool, because I don't think anybody should ever feel excluded in their faith.
Like, yeah, no, I agree.
That's something that we should definitely work on.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Do you feel like we could come up with something that might, you know, work in the place of like the Mother Maiden Crone? Do you think that really even needs to be changed, or do you think that we need to add something to it? Maybe.
I don't think it needs to be changed or excluded. I think it maybe just add something to it that makes it more, because I don't personally have a problem with the Mother Maiden Crone or the male version of that, but definitely like there are people in the world that don't connect with those personas, and we need to make sure that there is a place made for everybody within our covens and our ceremonies and witchcraft in general, because witches in general are outcasts from community as it is already, typically, so we don't need to be outcasting our own people.
Right.
Like, we need to make sure that everybody feels loved and welcome, because there's already a lot of hate towards us outside of this community from other faiths and more conservative thinking people.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I definitely understand what you mean by that. And so I think that there's work to be done in order for everyone to kind of like find like common ground. Like, I do feel like when it comes to, you know, groups, like big religious groups, like we have to be more intentional about how we're including others,
and
not so much just the, well, you know, if you fit the bill, this is the place for you. And it's not as simple as that.
No, it's not.
We have to be kind of more direct about, you know, what it is that we are expecting in our community. And I know a lot of us are very open and very loving and very accepting of all people, no matter how they identify.
That is true. That's as a majority rule, I would say most pagans are very open-minded and inclusive people. And I just think that that's something we need to keep pushing on, because it is within us as pagans and witches and heathens or whatever you call yourself to be inclusive and loving. We just need to push that a little harder, because we've sometimes every path gets stuck in a little bit of a social rut, and we just gotta keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And kind of like what you were saying about the titles, like kind of moving into our next question is like, you know, the thoughts on like the gender titles. So like when we think of like, I know a big debate has been, you know, witch and how that is just used for females, even though technically it is to describe anyone who is practicing witchcraft. So when we think of, you know, other names that people have used, you know, warlock or wizard, you know, do we believe that that has been too stripped down to be dependent on a gender role? Or do we think that those names can be spread out and be used for anyone to, use as a title? Like, do you think that those are just, those have been too nailed down?
I mean, they've become gender specific, but they weren't, they haven't always been like that. Like, witch is a gender neutral title, just like warlock or wizard is. And warlock used to, I mean, it still means oathbreaker. Right. It's like an ancient Germanic word for oathbreaker, but I have found myself connecting to it a lot more lately, just because I've never found a coven or a group that I connect with. Maybe like I'm looking at it from the viewpoint that I haven't found a group that I would be willing to take an oath with.
Right.
So I'm kind of leaning more in the calling myself a warlock, even though it's kind of derogatory and usually received as negative. Like, but yeah, I think there's rooms for all of those titles, and no matter who you are, or like what you identify as, because I mean, you could be a female or a non-binary or gender neutral wizard if you wanted to.
No, I agree.
Or witch or warlock.
Right. I don't think that the names themselves like have, you know, any one particular specific like gender assigned to it. And I think that you can absolutely just, you know, call yourself whatever.
But I am reclaiming the title warlock as like the positive outcast in the witch community.
Yeah. I mean, and that's totally fine. Like, I feel like that's
because it's typically only been like just it's negative.
Yeah. Right.
Typically.
But it's working its way towards being a little bit better. I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. Do you feel like, and that kind of like leads into the next question. Like, do you feel like the pagan community could be the head of the change for, you know, religious organizations? Like, could we be the head of being the spearhead of inclusivity?
We are the head of inclusivity, because the paganism in general, overall, witchcraft and paganism is decades ahead of the other mainstream religions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mostly just Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They're not terribly inclusive at their like fundamental core teachings.
But it could be.
But it could be. And you're seeing that a little bit in the Christian church. You're seeing churches that like say everybody's welcome, and they'll like wave gay like gay pride flags and stuff like that. And that's cool that they're doing that. But like I definitely think that us as pagans and witches are the, what's the word I'm looking for? We're the pioneers in that, I suppose. Yeah.
We're the trailblazers.
We've been accepting,
right. We've been accepting of many, many types of people for a very long time.
Yeah.
But also, like I said, in any group, right, we're going to work, we have to work towards making everything like smooth and, you know, go with the times. This is also, we're thinking we've grown with this religion from where it came from, and being in a pagan community means that we are open, which means it makes it easier for those changes to occur.
Yeah. I think right now is a good time for us to lead by example, like,
yeah,
rather than preaching at the other philosophies and faiths, we just express love towards everybody and just not be dicks. And it's going to rub off. They're going to start seeing, like, hey, these people aren't evil Satan worshipers.
Right, right. No, yeah, I agree. That's definitely what we need.
There was a live video on TikTok I was watching today. It was a Christian pastor or something, and he was talking about there's no way to be a morally sound individual and not be in the blood of Christ. And, mm-hmm. like, I commented on it, and I was like, I'm a pagan, and I love and receive everybody equally. Like, my moral standard doesn't come out of your book.
Like, yeah, for sure.
I'm a good person because I have common sense and I know how I want to be treated. And that's the way that I treat other people. Like, it has nothing to do with Jesus.
No, yeah, I agree. No, and that's something that is still a big, big thing that we're still fighting with. And that includes not only in the religious communities, but that also includes, you know, just in everyday life. And mm-hmm. even with, you know, the gender normatives that we're still facing at this time, like all of the things that are still in place mm-hmm. and the fact that, kind of like reminding me of that video that you're watching also about the lady who was saying that, you know, we need to normalize the gender roles that are actually existing.
You know? Yeah, like we need
letting them know that, you know, children can be normal growing up and yeah. seeing that, you know, gay couples are normal, that trans people are normal, that, you know, non-binary people are normal, and mm-hmm. all of those things exist, and that, you know, the queer community is just as much, you know, people, and that it is normal
yeah,
as
like anything else. They're here, like
right.
Because the conservative argument is always like, I don't want to talk to my child about sex. And it's like, the conversation is not sex. The conversation is human beings. Like,
yeah.
We're talking about living, breathing human beings that exist right now in your child's world. We need to teach them that those are loving, valid human beings, just absolutely, like they
because
are.
Because your children can grow up to be one of those people. And yeah. they need to know that they are going to be loved and accepted, and that they are normal.
Yeah,
and that it is normal for them to see people that way.
Yeah, because if Briarlyn wound up realizing that she was gay, like later in life, I would not want her like feeling like she had to keep that a secret from us.
No, absolutely like, not.
We're raising her like we're
definitely open to just yes. letting her be whoever she's going to whoever be, you whether wanna be. It's you know whether she continues on the path she's on or decides that. You know, she's going to be someone else or do something else or date someone else or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We're completely open to whatever lifestyle she chooses,
mm-hmm.
Which kind of leads me to my last question. Like, do you feel like the way that the community is, the pagan community specifically, do you believe that that has led you to, you know, want to practice? And does that also, you know, push whether or not you practice with others or alone, and the fact that you get that choice.
Right now, I choose to practice alone because I don't really feel terribly like connected to any groups.
Right.
And that's like, I may start my own group. That's right. We've talked about that. I think we talked about that already in this episode, but yeah, like, yeah, for sure.
And do you feel like the way that it is determining that if you're practicing alone or in a group?
The way that I've experienced it,
mm-hmm.
it's definitely determined that I am a solo practicing
mm-hmm.
witch.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's definitely determining factors for you.
For me, yes, personally. And yeah. there's no like hard feelings about that. It's just like it's the way that I've experienced it, and I totally understand some covens not wanting men in their groups. Mm-hmm. Like I totally see the validity in that. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't bother me. But I want to personally maybe start a group that is open to anybody and everybody, like indiscriminately, as long as you're not a piece of shit
mm-hmm.
and you're willing to come in and practice with love and kindness and acceptance towards everybody, like you're welcome in this group. And I think that would be cool. So if there's anybody out there in the Colorado Springs area or like close enough that wants to start a coven with me, yeah, hit me up. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I think that that's great. And I do believe that there are people out there looking for, you know, groups, more groups. So I think that that definitely helps. I also feel, to just wrap up that question, you know, for me, yeah, it definitely does, you know, determine, I think, whether or not, you know, I do practice in groups or alone. I have kind of, I feel, a 50-50 practice right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do some practice alone, and I do also do some group practicing as well. And I think currently where I'm at, because I've been able to find at least one or two or three people that I feel okay practicing with,
yeah,
that I'm able to do that simultaneously with my solo practicing.
You do have a pretty solid small circle of witches that you work with regularly that I see that as positive in your life.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. Sure. I think it's really cool. It's kind of taken some time to find, I mean, honestly, that would be my only takeaway from all of this is, like, definitely when it comes to, like, practicing, if you're gonna, if your biggest thing is just wanting to practice with others, you know, it's just finding, like, one other person to start that you feel very comfortable with.
Yeah.
And then you all are able to at least find some other people that you may also want to practice with. So that's totally normal. And I also wanted to go ahead and close out with a reading. But before I do...
Oh, if you want to reach out to us on our social medias, you can find us at Heathen and Hedge Podcast on both Instagram and Facebook, if you want to reach out and talk to us about your experience in the pagan community with these issues and this topic specifically, or anything at all. But yeah, like, what's your experience? Have you ever felt excluded? Or, like, what's your experience in your pagan
community?
Do you all
want, like, what are some ideas that you have for maybe new titles or new gender-neutral terms that we can use? You know, different ways that we could be more inclusive in the pagan community for sure, because we would love to hear it.
Yeah.
And then for today's Witchy Wednesday, we're going to close out with a card reading. I'm using the Modern Witch deck, and our three cards are just going to be, you know, a general message that we all need to hear. And we have, you know, the Three of Cups, the Three of Swords, and the Five of Pentacles. Our Three of Cups was reversed, so it is telling us to, you know, slow down, you know, don't revel in your celebrations just yet. You mm-hmm. know, take time to still go with the flow of your plans, your vision, whatever it is that you're focusing on right now, making sure that you are still, you know, dotting all your I's and crossing all your T's. Get everything in order and try not to go overboard with focusing too much on your end result and trying to make yourself just overexerted in that celebration. You mm-hmm. have to work up to it and make sure that you're following all of your steps. The Three of Swords is kind of telling us that, you know, be cautious and be careful of the people that are surrounding you. Make sure that you are evaluating the people in your life, that you don't have any people close to you that may be dragging you down or, you know, bringing negativity in your life or, you know, placing, you know, those daggers in your heart. Like, just try to make sure that you're giving yourself space to breathe and be in a place of evaluation with others.
Yeah.
That are going to be supportive to your life and your journey.
Yeah.
And lastly, the Five of Pentacles. Just remember that hard times always happen. Hard times are ahead. It is okay. If you have to, you know, find some help and support to get you through those hard times, make sure that if you are in a moment of struggle or you are coming up to a moment that, or a time in your life where you need some support, that you're asking for it and mm-hmm. that you're not putting so much strain on yourself, which is really important.
Yeah.
So that is our reading for the evening. You know, just like allow yourself to reflect, get everything in order, have a great system around you, a good support system, mm-hmm. and have good people around you too. Yeah. Not the negative ones and not the ones that are going to, you know,
do nothing but hurt vampires. You.
Right. nothing but positivity around these parts.
You gotta keep your balance in relationships.
Absolutely.
If it teeters too far to one side, somebody's getting depleted, and we don't want to do that to people, and we don't want that done to ourselves.
For sure. And so that has been a wrap on another Witchy Wednesday.
Yeah.
We hope that you all have enjoyed this episode, and we thank you all so much for joining us. My name is Shay.
And my name is Merlin.
And we will catch you all on the next one. Blessed be y'all.
Love you guys.
Peace.